Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
I sure will. Jim Sykes, District 1. He is in the building. I don't see him right now. Matthew Beck, District 2.
Here.
Ronald Arvin, District 3.
Here.
Steve Culligan, District 4.
Here.
Darcy Salmon, District 5, is coming in the back door. Jim Culver, District 6.
Here.
And Vern Halter, District 7.
Here.
You do have a quorum, and Mr. Sykes has entered the room. Mr. Mayor, you have a quorum.
Very good. And Assemblymember Salmon is here, too. So, we have the agenda before us. Are there any... clerk tells me that there's about six of these hearings that we can take together because of their common nature. Assemblymember Sykes?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I would like to move that we take items number 4 through 11 together, which are just the transfers of funding for road service areas.
Right. That's what I was just talking about.
Yeah, and I would also like to pull just three items from the consent agenda.
Okay. Do you want to specify?
Yes, A, B, and C. And I would like to consider item C before item B because it affects how the whole process may work.
And you're talking about the resolutions, Assemblymember Sykes?
Yes.
And you want to take resolution C prior to resolution B?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Anybody else on the consent agenda? No. That's it. Well, there's two AMs. Okay. Is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none. We have the business of the night before us. So let's rise. I'm going to ask my fellow subdivision dweller, Miss Helen Woodings, to lead us in the pledge.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, any comments on the minutes? We have at least one of our cities here tonight, so City of Wasilla, Mr. Cottle.
Mayor DeVille, Assembly Members, Burt Cottle, City of Wasilla. I have three items for you tonight. The first two I left up there for you, that is a legislative funding request that the City of Wasilla will be lobbying for this year down in Juneau. And the second is the Matsu Homeless Connect coming up on January 29th. There's still time for anybody who would like to participate in that. And then finally, before you tonight is Ordinance Serial Number 14-001. The only comment we would like to make is if that's not already on the borough website, that's for the increase from 6 cords to 10 cords. It would be nice for people who actually work 9 to 5, the same hours that the borough's open, to be able to go online and apply for that online, to be able to pay for that instead of having to take time off from work to come in. So it would be nice if it was a little bit user-friendly. So that's it, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know there will be at least one assembly member that wants will support that happening.
That would require a credit card process.
Mr. Griffith, and condolences, I guess.
I thought you'd congratulate me. That's my last item. Thank you, members of the Assembly, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Manager, Madam Clerk. City of Palmer, our Board of Economic Development has been somewhat dormant, but it has been rejuvenated. We still have a couple of vacancies, but we had a meeting, our second meeting of sort of the new phase of trying to implement our economic development plan for the City of Palmer. We met yesterday. Lamar Anderson is the chairman of the board, along with John Lee, Denise Stotts, excuse me, and Ralph Renzi from the Greater Palmer Chamber of Commerce are the four members we have now. We do have a couple of vacancies. If anybody is interested, contact the mayor or the city clerk for an application to an appointment of the Board of Economic Development for the city of Palmer. We are also advertising, and it closes Friday, for an airport manager. We are trying to see if we can find somebody that maybe will be interested in a part-time job, a retired individual with airport experience and stuff, so we're trying to take our airport to another level. And yes, the mayor, I have notified my council that I don't intend to renew my contract when it expires May 1st of this year, so I'll be here for a while longer if the council agrees to keep me around, but so it's not goodbye yet, but that is on the front page of the I don't like being on the front page of the Frontiersman, but for this maybe it's good. And so they did a nice article about my tenure here at the city of Palmer, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. School District, please state your name for the record.
Luke Fulp, Assistant Superintendent of Business and Operations. Thank you, Honorable Mayor and members of the Assembly. Just wanted to present an update from the school district. Over the break, we had, last night we had the national championship conclude for college football, and we had some participation of our students in the bowl championship series. Over the break, we had the first ever marching band Alaska marching band take part in the Rose Bowl parade on January 1st, and we also had our Palmer High cheerleaders, and they were from Colony High marching band. Our Palmer High cheerleaders also participated in the Holiday Bowl, so that was great from our school district to get those kids participating and active in those premier events. We've started the second semester for the school system, and we've already started thinking about next year. We have a meeting with the joint meeting with the borough on Thursday. We've already begun looking at what is in the governor's budget for education. We saw that 100% money is in there for energy, $100 per ADM, which was in there last year and the prior year. So that was good to see. And we also have a study that was released by the Hay Group, commissioned by the legislature, for pooling of health insurance for school district employees. And so we are busy looking at that study, trying to find out what it means for us, and we'll be doing a report to our board, and it'll be a big topic this session. So we're just preparing for the session, preparing our budget, and looking ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, Luke, if I could ask you, on the pooling for health insurance, schools wide across the state, is that study also taking a look at pooling with the state employees, not just district employees?
Through the mayor, Member Arvin, that study was, I believe the scope of it did include looking at all public employees, as well as reframe that. I believe the study looked at pooling school district employees in with the Alaska Care Plan that currently exists for our retirees. I don't believe it looked at pooling current school district employees with other state employees per se, but it did consider pooling with the Alaska Care Plan that's in place that includes our retirees, and the study actually recommended that not occur for school district employees because of the cost of the retirees versus the younger teachers. And so it was just but that was something that the study did look at. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yeah, Luke, has the district or the board take any position as far as increase in state funding, whether it be preferred base student allocation or the increments like the increases in energy and other costs that, like in the past, have been forthcoming? What's the position there of the district, if we have one?
Through the mayor, Member Culver, the current legislative priorities that have been adopted by the school board include both foundation formula increases, not specified whether it's a factor per se or the BSA, but foundation formula increases, and also one-time money. So there's been two references of one-time money established, and really whatever operating revenue can be generated out of those sources. That's what we've seen as of late, a pay-as-you-go approach by the legislature where based on what's coming down the pipe, that's what we get out in terms of one-time non-recurring funds. So the legislative priorities include a combination.
Well, we are going to be talking about this Thursday.
Does the district feel comfortable to hire teachers under that funding scenario if it's just, you know, not within the formula, the other additive funding, issue contracts?
Through the mayor, Assemblymember Culver, I don't feel I can necessarily speak for the board on that topic, but I do know that in the past several years we have operated under those circumstances where we have issued contracts pending one-time funding.
Thank you. It was great to see Colony marching in the Rose Bowl. In fact, the announcer I was listening to said that if anybody makes it through this parade, this 6.5-mile parade, it's going to be these guys because they're used to doing it in knee-deep snow. I think that was a little over-exaggeration, but okay. Moving on, there was a joint assembly school board meeting. Mr. Who's the official? You the primary?
I think I was, but I'm asking. I think Ms. Beck and Beck were both
there. Yeah, right. You weren't, Mr. Culver. Mr. Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. All bond projects with regards to the schools are on target and were discussed at the meeting. There was quite a bit of discussion with regards to the upcoming budget and the district. We are the only major school district in the state that demonstrates continued significant growth in the student population, which is impressive. There was a number thrown out there. I think 78% of the budget is spent on instruction. Was that the number? It was right, Luke? Yep. And the biggest costs with regards to the increase in the budget they're looking at are benefits and insurance. And so they're something to keep in mind. The other thing we started a discussion on that's going to come to us is consolidating fleet maintenance with the borough and the district. We talked quite a bit about that, and I guess that's been a discussion going on for years, and that discussion is going to prop up again and continue, it sounds like.
Thank you. Mr. Sykes, you were there. Any comment? Okay. Thank you. I'll always thank you for no comment. So, anything, Assembly Public Relations? This is the manager's spot.
Good evening. First, we'd like to let you know that we're able to get Joe Perkins off the injured reserve list. He's back in action. In fact, he's in town today. We have been requested to do a presentation on January 28th for legislative transportation group in Juneau. It's going to be on the rail, and we're planning to do that. Received a call yesterday, next Tuesday at 11 a.m. to LIO in Anchorage. Senator Dunleavy and Representative Stoltz are doing a public hearing regarding fish issues, and have asked us to kind of lend support to that public hearing, and it's all fish management issues and fish not coming our way. So with the presentation tonight, the Assembly and our legislative, we're working really together as a team, and we're making progress, and we're continuing moving forward. The last thing is I looked on my calendar, and we have a special meeting tonight. We have a special meeting on February 4th. But we're missing a special meeting on February 18th and wondered at 4 p.m. we could have a preliminary 2015 budget session. Essentially, why my staff is putting stuff together, if I can get direction from the Assembly so we can more in tune meet your expectations and needs in advance. So when we do the presentations and we have the discussions, we may be three-fourths of the way there as opposed to just the beginning. So If we could do that on February 18th at 4 p.m., I think that would be a good start for us.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Colbert.
To follow up on the manager's comments on the budget, I think it would be probably wise for during that time with us to roll out to us what the delta increases you're proposing, if it's the EMS funding positions you want to add. This what the school districts, you know, they're probably going to want the same amount that they wanted last year, a bump every year, I think. But, and anything else, so that we can kind of go into it eyes wide open, and then maybe we can follow up with another meeting to kind of set some budgetary goals before we get into budget, where we want to end up at. I'm a little concerned that with all these seems like a lot of costs, new costs coming in, and I think you mentioned health care was going up and other things, that we're going to end up with a budget that we're shocked when we get it. And then rather than going into that, having some upfront information and then give us some chance to maybe set some goals where we want to end up before we get into it, before you write it.
Mr. Manager, do you want to comment on that? And also reiterate, what was it you wanted on the 18th?
First comment is agreed. February 18th, would like a work session to begin budget discussions for 2015.
Right, and I would assume together we will maybe establish some boundaries, but I would hate to see us take away your management skills to weave something together within our boundaries.
The assembly always gives me opportunity to use my skills.
Okay. Thank you. So assembly have a issue with that date? February 18th.
For budget.
4 p.m. I don't think we start budget in April. Okay. Okay. I didn't hear any objection, Madam Clerk. So you can incorporate that into your clerk's report after the attorney. Mr. Attorney, do you have any comments? No comments. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, the clerk's report is in your packet, and as Mr. Fulp had noted earlier, the Joint Assembly School Board meeting is this Thursday. And also for the February 4th meeting regarding economic development, it had originally been scheduled as a special meeting. It was requested that it be changed to a work session to make it a more informal discussion. And the reason that I did make it a special meeting is so the Assembly could provide direction to the manager. However, that can be done at the regular meeting later that night. So I wanted to see if it was if the Assembly wouldn't mind scheduling it as a work session rather than a special meeting. Excuse me.
Any objection? All I see is affirmative, Madam Clerk.
Okay, that's all I had.
Well, you know, this is amazing.
Oh, that's right. I do have one more.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Earlier,
you guys had discussed setting a meeting with the director of DNR to talk about House Bill 77. The Board of Fish starts meeting on the 31st. You guys already have a meeting scheduled on the 21st, a regular meeting. Would you like me to get the DNR in here for a 4 p.m. meeting that day? Okay.
We'll do. Smooth sooner the better.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any objection to that? Good. And, Madam Clerk, make sure the commission is included on that.
I will do that.
Thank you. Very good. Correspondence. IMs. There is unfinished business. Ordinance 13162, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending MSB 17.73, Multifamily Development Designs, and MSB 17.125.010, Definitions.
Okay, is that on the table?
It already is on the table, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Mr. Arvin, do you want to speak to that anymore? Or?
I do not.
Okay. Well, are we ready to vote? Is it on ordinance 13162? Madam Clerk, could you remind us how we got where we are on this?
Let me take a look. Give me a second, Mr. Mayor.
No, the manager can do that.
Yes.
He has it in,
this is the splitting of Public Works into two different departments. There were some questions at the assembly on the cost, and we had Mr. Wilson put together a spreadsheet for us. I sent it via email, but I know of all your other Christmas greetings, you might have missed it. So here's a copy of that as well.
Okay, we have to undo some things here. The clerk read the veto into the record.
No wonder I confused everybody, and I apologize. So let me start again and read the unfinished business into the record.
Okay.
And it's an ordinance adopting MSB 2.45 Capital Projects Department and amending other related provisions of code assigning duties and functions. I apologize.
I was trying to wrap my brain around what I read and what I heard. And, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So when I asked for this breakout and to postpone this to a date certain, it was really for the deliverable. I just wanted the numbers so when we go into the budget, we can have a basis on how those budgets are going to be newly built. So that was it. We got it. That's what I was asking for.
Thanks. Okay. Are there any objections to the ordinance? Hearing none, it passes. Just a little later than originally planned. Then, now, Madam Clerk, now you can deal with the veto.
Ordinance Zero Number 12169, an ordinance amending MSB 1773, Multifamily Development Design Standards, and MSB 1712.5010 Definitions.
Thank you. Is there a motion? Assemblymember Sykes.
Mr. Mayor, I move to override the veto. I'd like to speak to the motion, please.
You may speak to the motion.
The veto...
Well, primarily to the motion to override, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I felt that the... thank you, Mr. Mayor. I thought that the veto message really didn't give a valid reason for vetoing it, and that's one thing that I felt was a large shortcoming of it. The other thing is I kind of thought that we were on our way to healing on this issue, even though we don't always agree on it, and it's kind of like somebody ripped off the scab and opened it up again and by the veto. And so what this ordinance did was loosen the rules, and that's what it was intended to do, so that's why I moved to override.
Okay. Anybody else want to shed light on it? Assemblymember Colbert.
Well, just for the record, I would note that the Planning Commission in Resolution 13-38, what they passed is the following language is an amendment. Any residential, a permit should be required for any residential exceeding six dwelling units, regardless of lot size. And I would argue that the amendment we took up to look at holistically a whole project, lot by lot, if it's all counted as one development, that falls in line with what the Planning Commission unanimously adopted. And that is why it was brought to my attention that we ought to be looking at projects on their whole impact rather than on just six units per acre, rather if it's six lots together with six units on each.
Yeah, well, let's not get too much into the detail because right now it's on the veto.
Yeah, so I would think that would be good reason and good public policy that the veto should be overridden so that we can protect the health, welfare, and quality of life of borough residents and their property values. Thank you.
Okay. And just for everybody's clarity, this is only, the veto only touched the amendment. It didn't touch anything else. Are we ready for the question? There is objection, so please put it. Oh, yeah, you can explain it because there's some reverse thinking sometimes here.
The motion that's on the floor is to override the mayor's veto, If you wish to override the veto, you'd vote yes. If you agree with the mayor on the veto, you would vote no. Mr. Mayor, it fails with it needs five votes. It fails with Assemblymember Culver, Sykes, Halter, and Beck in favor. Assemblymember Salmon, Culligan, and Arvin opposed.
Okay, thank you. That puts that behind us.
And get this down real quick.
Oh yes, go ahead. Actually, Assemblymember Sykes had a point after I went back and read that veto language. I wondered if it would get past the attorneys, but it did. You know, really, the language is, you don't have to have much of a reason to issue a veto. So, and the only reason, because I did object to the content of the motion and the process by which we got there, but I happened to be doing that with a very limited amount of time, so that's why the language was a little bit skimpy. So we are moving now past persons to be heard because nobody's run through that gauntlet yet, and we're ready for public hearings, ordinance 14-001. Note that. This is number one.
An ordinance amending MSB 2320, Forest Management, to amend 232170, non-commercial personal use of forest products, to increase the annual limit of 6 cords per year to 10 cords per year.
Okay. Is there anybody signed up? There's nobody signed up. Anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move ordinance serial number 14-001 and would like to speak to it.
You may.
So we had this in front of us a couple years ago, and there was a lot of discussion based on a motion that I made to increase it to 10 cords. And staff kind of fell on their sword to keep it at 6, and I'm wondering what's changed. We could have some comment on that and why it would be back in front of us so soon. I'm glad to see it, but...
Yeah,
I'm wondering what's changed. Can I please learn what's changed?
We will let our forester speak to that. And at the same time, you might speak to the concept of why we shouldn't allow somebody to get their year's supply, because even 10 cords won't get most Alaskans through the winter.
Okay. Member Arvin, through the mayor. My name is Ray Nix. I'm the resource management specialist, and what's changed is staff. I've been here about a year and a half, and when I came on board, one of the first things that I did was initiate a personal use firewood program. And the first thing that I brought before the assembly was to increase the cord limit from 3 cords to 6 cords, and that was approved last year. And what we found throughout the time is that most households burn between 6 and 10 cords per year of firewood. And this year specifically, we have a lot of excess. We have a lot of wood available as a result of conversions. So why we're back here again is because the people have not complained about the price, not complained about the program. They just asked to be able to get more wood. They like to put up more than one season's worth of wood up at one time. So when they do wood, they like to get it out for 2 to 3 years. We have a lot of conversion projects. We have the rail projects. We have school clearings. We have road projects. And now is the time the borough has some wood available where we can get it to the residents of the borough to offset the energy costs.
Thank you for that. And to follow up, what can you remind me what it is per cord they pay?
First, they pay a $25 permit, and then they pay $25 per cord for each cord of firewood. And so if it was increased to 10 cords, if the assembly did approve that, it would go to $275 per household per year for 10 cords of wood. That's a pretty good price.
Although this legislation doesn't talk to the fee associated per cord or the fee, and the fee schedule isn't here, I would propose to change that from leaving the... I would propose an amendment. Can I do that even though the fees aren't talked to, Lonnie?
We need to close the public hearing first. Oh, we did. Okay. Yeah, that's right. You're not the public.
If Mr. Mayor, if you can get me an at-ease, I need to see where the fees are at in code.
Okay. Take two. I guess while we're waiting, I'll just say that I've never had a stove that would heat a family residence sole source with 10 cords of wood. Maybe they've got better stoves now.
Would you like me to speak to that?
Well, sure. We're it's informal right now.
I heat a 2,400 square foot home, and I have propane. I have a propane furnace, and I still burn 10 cords of wood. The thing is we're not trying to get, there's more sources for wood than there is with the borough. So what we're trying to do is to make sure everyone gets a chance to get some of this wood. And that's the reason for this personal use firewood program. With the oversight, what we're able to do is monitor that distribution so everybody, all the residents, get a fair shot at it. And that's why we use the program, the permit system, is because we can keep track of who's getting wood where, and it helps to keep down the amount of people going into the woods without permits. It helps to give some oversight. And so that's what we do with the program.
I know in Siberia, the rule of thumb is 30 cords per winter for a family that's...
You don't want to cut that much.
That's just... Of course, it's a little colder, but... Yeah, they got lots of trees.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor.
Madam Clerk, so we're back on the record.
The policies and the rates are in the policies and procedures, so new legislation would have to come back. At this time, I don't know if it would be a resolution or an ordinance.
So that's really...
You could definitely direct them to bring the legislation back.
Okay. I'll do that at a different time. Thank you. Thank you for...
Thanks for your report.
Thank you.
Keep selling firewood. So, any further discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, passes. Ordinance 14002.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $500,000 for a portion of the fiscal year 2014 designated legislative grant projects from the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development for School District Preschool Program with accompanying resolution serial number 14001, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for a portion of the fiscal year 2014 designated legislative grant projects from the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development for School District Preschool Programs.
Okay. This is a public hearing, so we will open it up. Does anybody wish to speak to this? Nobody rises, so we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Mr. Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 14-002 and resolution serial number 14-001.
Thank you. And is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. And that brings us to ordinance 14003.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating a grant in the amount not to exceed $135,000 from the Matsu Health Foundation and an amount not to exceed $30,000 from the Friends of the Talkeetna Library Incorporated to fund 435 project number 10170 for the construction of the Talkeetna Library and Community Resource Center. With accompanying resolution 14002, a resolution approving the scope of work and amended budget for the Talkeetna Library and Community Resource Center.
Okay, bring this for public hearing. Does anybody want to speak to this? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 14-003 and resolution serial number 14-002. And ask for a quick vote, please.
Thank you. Did you say a quick vote?
Fast vote, more money to District 7 is always good.
Okay. I think it's ironic that the Friends of the Talkeetna Library have to come through us to give money to their own project. Is there any objection to this motion? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. And Madam Clerk, that brings us to items 4 through 11.
Ordinance Zero Number 14004, an ordinance approving an appropriation of $50,000 from the Midway Road Service Area Number 9 Fund Balance Fund 270 to Fund 410, Project Number 30036 for Midway Road Service Area Number 9 Capital Projects. Ordinance Zero Number 14005, an ordinance approving a reappropriation of $150,000 from the Vogard Road Service Area Number 25 Fiscal Year 2014 Operating Budget Fund 279 to Fund 410, Project Number 30045 for Bogard Road Service Area Number 25 Capital Projects, with accompanying Ordinance Serial Number 14006, an ordinance approving an appropriation of $370,000 from the Bogard Road Service Area Number 25 Fund Balance Fund 270 to Fund 410, Project Number 30045 for Bogard Road Service Area Number 25 Capital Projects. Ordinance Serial Number 14007, an ordinance approving an appropriation of $175,000 from the Meadow Lakes Road Service Area Number 27 Fund Balance Fund 281 to Fund 410, Project Number 30047 for Meadow Lakes Road Service Area Number 27 Capital Projects. Ordinance Serial Number 14008, an ordinance approving a reappropriation of $70,000 from the Gold Trail Road Service Area Number 28 Fiscal Year 2014 Operating Budget Fund 282 to Fund 410, Project Number 30048 for Gold Trail Road Service Area Number 28 Capital Projects, with accompanying Ordinance 14009, an ordinance approving an appropriation of $300,000 from the Gold Trail Road Service Area Number 28 Fund Balance Fund 282 to Fund 410, Project Number 30048 for the Gold Trail Road Service Area 28 Capital Projects. Ordinance Zero Number 14010, an ordinance approving an appropriation of $30,000 from the Lazy Mountain Road Service Area Number 19 Fund Balance Fund 275 to Fund 410, Project Number 30041 for Lazy Mountain Road Service Area Number 19 Capital Projects. Ordinance Zero Number 14011, an ordinance approving a supplemental appropriation of $10,000 from the North Colony Road Service Area Number 23 Fund Balance Fund 278 to North Colony Road Service Area Number 23 Fiscal Year 2014 Operating Budget Fund 278. The accompanying Ordinance 14012, an ordinance approving an appropriation of $30,000 from the North Colony Road Service Area Number 23, Fund Balance Fund 278 to Fund 410, Project Number 30044 for the North Colony Road Service Area Number 23 Capital Projects. Ordinance 14013, an ordinance approving an appropriation of $100,000 from the Cowsville Road Service Area Number 15, Fund Balance Fund 272 to Fund 410, Project Number 338 for Cowsville Road Service Area Number 15 Capital Projects. Ordinance 14015, an ordinance approving an appropriation of $100,000 from the Fairview Road Service Area Number 14 Fund Balance Fund 271 to Fund 410, Project Number 337 for Fairview Road Service Area Number 14 Capital Projects, with accompanying Ordinance 14016, an ordinance approving a supplemental appropriation of $50,000 from Fairview Road Service Area Number 14 Fund Balance Fund 271 to Fairview Road Service Area Number 14 Fiscal Year 2014 Operating Budget Fund 271.
Thank you. I'm glad that's your job. This is a public hearing, all to do with transfers for different road service area projects. Is there anybody that wants to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got a question for the clerk. I just happened to notice that from items 10 to 11, we jump from serial number 1413 to 1415. I don't see it anywhere else on the agenda. I was going to state my motion in a particular manner. That's why I asked the question.
At the top of my head, I'm not quite sure. It might have been in the assigning of the numbers. They might have. Actually, the 1414 is saved for the budget. Just dawned on me. 1414.
Okay, so here I go. Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial numbers 14-004, 14-005, 14-006, 14-007, 14-008, 14-009, 14-010, 14-011, 14-012, 14-013, 14-015, and 14-016.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Thank you. That passes by unanimous consent. And brings us to number 17.
An ordinance approving the acquisition of land in the amount of $1 million for the purpose of location of a future Mount Sioux Valley South Gateway Visitor Center, said land being identified as Lot 1 and Tract A Homestead RV Park Subdivision containing 48.83 acres more or less, MSB 006841. Accompanying Resolution 14-3, a resolution amending the scope of work and budget for fiscal year 2014, Record Storage Building Roof Replacement Project, project number 10117, for the purpose of acquiring land for the location of the future Mount Sioux Valley South Gateway Visitor Center, project number 10022.
Okay. This is open for public hearing. Is there anybody that wishes to speak? I will say that MSCVB has a meeting. I think it's their strategic planning meeting tonight, and they would have been here. I assured them it probably wasn't necessary. So we'll close the public hearing, bring it back to Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 14-017 and resolution serial number 14-003.
Thank you. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that passes. And now, Ordinance 1418.
An ordinance approving a supplemental appropriation of $12,148 of revenues from the Willow Area Community Council to the Willow Fire Service Area Fiscal Year 2014 Operating Budget, Fund 258, to provide for firefighter clothing and equipment.
Thank you. And does anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
Yes, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 14-018, and this is a Willow Area Community Organization took some of the revenue shared money from the state of Alaska and transferred to Willow Fire Service Area to help them buy new clothing. That's quite generous and quite proud of them.
Right. I was there when they took that action. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing done, that passes unanimously. Which brings us to audience participation. Madam Clerk, is there a sheet? There's nobody signed up. Is there anybody that wishes to speak to us? Seeing and hearing none. Yes, you do need to jump when I say... Okay. On this item, you can speak to anything under the sun. I didn't know she'd asked to speak.
Mr. Mayor and Assembly Members, my name is Elena Anderson. I'm here to speak in reference to an action memorandum acceptance of retroactive and late filed senior citizen disabled veteran exemption applications. The Assessment Department does not recommend approval of these requests. However, I had submitted a request on behalf of my family after my father passed away last winter, suffering from colon cancer. And he had surgery, and the affidavit for eligibility was due April 30th. He died May 10th, and our family didn't find out about this until after his passing, and we missed that window. And my dad was born in Matsu Borough in 1940, and our family is one of the original 203 colonists. And our family still lives in Alaska. We support the borough. We support the community. So he's lived here for his entire life. And our family is asking for your consideration. We respectfully request that you help our longtime Alaskan family finalize our father's oversight in this matter on a positive note with the Matsu Borough Assembly by approving his exemption. And his name is David M. Allward. And I hope that you don't just clump them all together and go with the Assessment Department's recommendation to not approve those in a big group. So if you could consider his application and mine on his behalf as his executor of his estate.
Thank you. It's appropriate time to do that. Is there anybody else? please come. For future reference, there is a sign-in sheet. That way we can anticipate this rather than just doing it off the cuff.
I did sign up.
Oh, really? Where's the sign-in sheet?
There's a sheet back there. I'm the third name on the sheet.
Okay. Oh, you signed up for the 4 o'clock meeting.
Well,
okay, that's all right.
Anyway, my name is Rhonda Weinrich. You all know me. First thing I need to say is I hope you accept my apology. I was pretty crabby the last time I came in here. I'm just stressed and disappointed. I am a borough business. I work my butt off trying to rescue animals. During Christmas, I adopted 27 kittens within 24 hours. I had people at my house till 1 o'clock in the morning picking up Santa kittens. Rescues are very busy businesses. One of the girls from Alaska Cat Adoption Team was supposed to come here tonight also. However, she had to go to the airport to pick up a litter of kittens. We want to help because it's for the animals. I really don't want it to be us versus them or, you know, me versus you guys. I really don't want that. There's no need for that. I'm really hoping for someone to speak with me, a resolution, something, some kind of a law that allows us to work with the shelter. I'm a one-person rescue. This year, I've adopted 149 kittens myself. I fixed 264 animals that don't belong to me. Clear Creek adopted 417 cats that they've rescued from the shelter. Today, I had a lady call me. Her name is Mrs. P. I'll use that. If anybody is interested in who she is, I have her name and her phone number. She called me and said that she went to the shelter after visiting, reading in the newspaper of a cat that she wanted to adopt. And the cat was in the paper on Saturday. Today, the first available day that the shelter was open, the cat was no longer available because it was sick. She called me this morning to tell me that there were 4 cats available and 31 sick. Through another rescue, she got to pull that cat from the shelter today. I guess I'm not understanding how it's a successful shelter if there are that many more sick animals than healthy animals in the building. I really want to get with somebody here to work with you guys to fix this. I don't know where to go next. I'm banging my head against the wall, I feel like. I am a business, and I want to work with the borough. So maybe somebody could be in favor of helping the animals?
I'm sure somebody will be following up on if there's a cat disease or something going on. We do have a vet there, so unattended.
2 months ago, there were 31 on the rescue list one day. Now there's that many that are sick again. So there's something wrong. And, I mean, if we're willing to pull them and help, then I don't understand why we're getting kicked in the butt.
Well, I can assure you we're not making them sick to get them, keep them away from you. But we'll look into it.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we will close audience participation and move. Madam Clerk, would you read the remainder of the
consent?
In the light of testimony, did anyone want to pull AM 14.3?
Yeah, I'll pull it.
Okay. So we have left on our consent agenda one item, Madam Clerk.
AM number 14.6, order proposal 14068P to Norton Corrosion Limited in an amount not to exceed $180,510 for the design of the cathodic protection and pile sleeve protection of docks.
Thank you. Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, that passes. That then brings us to resolution 14008. Madam Clerk.
Do you want to go to the previous page and do A and then C and then B, Mr. Mayor?
The agenda setting
Oh, I thought he moved C before B. I'm sorry. I didn't realize he wanted
Doesn't
to do
make any difference to me, but I would like to do C before B.
Okay. Can do. Which one did you want me to do?
14008 first.
Resolution Serial Number 14-8, a resolution in support of USDA Rural Community Development Loan to construct the Frontera Spanish Immersion Charter School.
Thank you. Assemblymember Sykes, do you want to move that?
Yes, I would like to move Resolution Serial Number 14-008. I mainly wanted to ask a question of the attorney about this, or perhaps somebody in finance, but at the very last page, page 4, second to the last paragraph, the penultimate paragraph, it says, whereas the USDA Rural Communities Loan Program has been utilized successfully within the borough to assist in funding of other projects, such as the Talkeetna Water Project, without obligating the borough to its citizens, and like that project, this loan will be repaid entirely by Frontera's tuition funds provided largely from the state for its students. I just wanted to highlight this. I wish the charter school at Frontera's well. I think they have a great educational program. They did have other options for financing that were available to them, and they chose this one. And so my concern is that it looks like it's going to be a pretty heavy debt service. And I just want to have a clear understanding, and my question for the attorney is the borough on the hook for this if they aren't able to manage it? And indeed, are they essentially asking for an unsecured loan, basically by promising that they'll pay for it through the state's and tuition raised by the parents?
Assemblymember Sykes, I think we can answer that here. It's not a legal thing. This
okay.
has been through the school process, and the assumption is that with the foundation and local contribution money that will be going to those students, this loan would be handled. There's no portion of that that would come directly to the borough. Is that right, Mr. Manager?
It's sort of right. We have had a partnership with that. The previous assembly has dedicated a piece of property, which is an asset for the school. For all these, the borough is really the landlord, and it's really a partnership. Right now, they're paying a hefty price in their rent. This project with the new building will be equal or less to the rent they're paying right now. We cannot ask them. We'd have to go to the citizens to secure any funding if it wasn't tied to the tuition payments. But our finance department, through Tammy Clayton and myself and I think Bob Bechtel on the staff, has worked with them. This process has been up for a year. So if they default, the building becomes ours. And so, I mean, it's a secure asset. We probably don't need a building, but the borough's not going to be out. It's just going to have another asset. They have a long waiting list. We think this is a good opportunity and really a very minimal risk to the borough to provide these new facilities for these students. And there is a long waiting list, and they have been pretty successful. So I'm recommending this project.
Through the mayor, through the manager, so that there's no chance that if it were defaulted on, this asset that is our property could not be taken. The loan would be secured by the payments for tuition by the state and local matches.
That is correct. And the USDA loan that they're requesting works better for this because we cannot give the property to charter school. And so they're really working with two entities. And I believe there's, from my understanding, there's better interest rates working with USDA. It just seems to work better in this case. Similar to other infrastructure projects like a wastewater or water treatment facility.
Okay, thank you very much. I have no objection. I just wanted to get that straight for my own understanding and perhaps others if they didn't know.
Yeah, I think you probably came into our joint meeting with the school board after this came up. The school board and the district, this is not their first option. They're pursuing a parallel track, and the terms are far more favorable going with incremental grants from the state, and that's going to still be their first choice, but they want this for a backup, just so everybody's clear.
Thank you.
Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. And then, so is your preference to go to one or two?
I'll just pass on. We can do the other resolution requesting support. We can do 14007.
Okay. Assemblymember Culver.
Well, I just think it's important to note that really the district hasn't, you know, they're supportive, but they haven't been integrally involved in, you know, the infrastructure for these charter schools. They're kind of out there on their own, and that's how we got here with Frontieris, that they obviously need a permanent home. They've been around for a long time, and they're crowded in that gravel pit on Bogard. It's very unsafe to get on the road there as well.
We've already voted on this, Assemblymember Colvin.
Well, I just want to make it clear here that
we're a little bit out of order because there's not a motion on the floor.
You didn't say it without objection anyway. If you want to cut me off, that's fine.
Well, you can bring it up under comments.
No, it's I can't. It's up right now. He pulled it.
We
it's
voted
my resolution.
On it. It's done. Madam Clerk?
Mr. Mayor, I did get that you said, is there any objection?
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to comment further on it, or if you want to discuss it under one of these other motions, but we can't just sit here and talk with no motions on the table. Assemblymember Culligan, do you want to?
Yeah, just a point of clarity. So is 1407 on the floor at the moment, B?
No, I'm waiting to move it.
Okay, I'd like to move forward.
That's what I thought we were on.
Yeah, so
it hasn't been read yet. I'm trying my best to move ahead. Okay. Madam Clerk, please read 1407 into the record.
A resolution requesting that the Alaska Legislature support the Manuskasitna Borough School District's capital request to fund a portion of the Frontier Spanish Immersion Charter School construction.
Thank you. Assemblymember Culver, I'm sorry. You can finish your comment. Let's let Assemblymember Sykes move it since he pulled it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move resolution serial number 14007.
Thank you. Assemblymember Culver, there was a misunderstanding there.
It's just a, you know, this is probably third, fourth time. We tried to help this school get a home. The bond didn't pass your veto muster this fall, so we never put that on the ballot. We've got a legislative request, but as we know with these other projects, other schools, it's very incremental, you know, $500,000, $1 million at a time, if that. And I think in this budgetary climate that USDA loan is probably the best option for them. And but I've got these, at the request of the school, I put both of these forward for you so that we can try to get some money out of the legislature as well. But we do need to move this along. Mr. Manager, how long will it take to complete that USDA process?
Mr. Manager?
I'm thinking probably at least another 90 days.
Okay, Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do not object to either one of these. My only concern is the public process that we've gone through. It seems a little bit sudden to me, where maybe the public wouldn't have the opportunity to talk to it as much as it would. But I don't know that a lot of people would object. We all love our charter schools, but it would be good to allow that opportunity.
Well, if we were appropriating money, there would be public speaking to us, but is just a resolution. Assemblymember Culligan.
So to that comment, I remind folks of last year in the budget process. We've been through this discussion. This is a great school. They've done a great job. The school district has done a great job. And I'd just like to move ahead, but we did have healthy discussion. We did have that school come before us. I know I've personally been over there, and I was just impressed with the operations, and it's kind of in a funky location, but they just done a great job. And last time we were kind of dropping the ball with this application and attention to it, and now's the time to do that. Full support of the school district and full support of charter schools. So I ask that we vote on that and move ahead. Thank you.
Does anybody else want to tell us to move ahead? Assemblymember Sykes?
Yes, I would like to tell us to move ahead. I don't have any objection because this is in support of a capital grant from the state, and we don't have anything at risk there. And I, even though I was at the school board committee late, I made up for it by leaving early. So thank you.
Okay, I'm going to close debate. Is there any objection to this? Hearing none, it passes. Which brings us back to A, Resolution 14004.
A resolution approving the financial responsibility for the MV Susitna for the January, February, and March 2014.
Okay, Assemblymember Sykes, you want to move that?
Sure, I'd like to move resolution serial number 14004.
You want to speak to it?
Sure. I'd hope that we'd get a little more clarification in the manager's report about how long this thing is going on. I know that we've broken this up into chunks of 3 months, but, like, are there any realistic prospects that something might happen? It's only $18,000 a month, and I really do appreciate the fact that we've lowered these costs, but they're still costs, and they're still ongoing. So I'd just like to ask the manager if there's any prospect of getting out of the rent.
Mr. Manager.
Maybe. We're continuing to shop it. In fact, we have a couple interested parties right now we're talking to. Don't know where that's going to go. I'm not betting any of my money on a yes or no on that, but we're working. We are continually seeking a political solution, some pressure on this. But I think, shortly I'm going to want to come back to the assembly and really we're just going to have to make some tough decisions about the ferry. We have an obligation to FTA. That's what's really holding over our heads. It's pretty pricey, and we have certainly given it our best shot and have not been successful. So that day's coming shortly, I still think there might be some opportunity to reduce what we owe or find a partner for the ferry. We have been trying a long time, a good 2 years, and we thought we had it. We thought we had it ready to go, and it didn't pan out. So we're gonna keep working. We're working hard. I know our port director, and we have a person on planning who are dealing with this practically every single day on this issue of different parties.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. I don't have any objection, Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. I just ask that I know for the benefit of the entire body, I think there's probably maybe a small executive session that should take place to keep everybody up to date on where we're at, and if you could find out where Nick, the attorney, is Baropoulos is at in his discussions with it, and if he could brief us soon, they're all legal matters, I assume, will fall under executive session. If you could schedule that, and then we, around the table, be up to date on where we're at and start from there.
Okay. Is there any objection? Okay. There's one perpetual objection, so put your votes on the board. Yeah, vote again.
Assemblymember Solomon, I'm sorry, I didn't get it. It hasn't registered yet.
It was yes.
Still not working? Okay, we'll display the votes and take a voice vote from Assemblymember Solomon. Assemblymember Solomon, what is your vote?
No.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Arvin opposed.
Thank you. Okay, that brings us to introductions.
We've got an AM, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, we do. That's right. AM 14068.
Let's see.
No, that's 14003. I'm sorry.
I was looking for that other one. Acceptance of retroactive and late filed senior citizen disabled veteran exemption applications, which the Assessment Department does not recommend approval of these requests.
Okay, Assemblymember Colbert. Okay, you want to speak to it?
I think the testimony we had under audience participation gave us a good reason to approve the memorandum. The amounts of the folks that are late, that are in there as well, lumped in, are small. I don't think it's going to cause financial hardship to the borough. And simply being late, I think we could... seniors and our veterans, we could extend a little bit of flexibility without financial harm to the borough.
Madam Clerk, the way the motion is worded, we're voting to approve their recommendation to not approve.
No,
clarify.
Mr. Mayor, and I think I'm going to start leaving that out of the title because it's very misleading.
Okay.
If you move to approve the AM, you're approving to retroactively approve everybody on that list.
For exemption.
For exemption.
Okay.
If you vote yes, you're approving the AM. Even though the wording is in the title like that, you're still approving the AM.
Okay, yeah, please. I totally support your rewording that in the future.
It can always be in the AM itself, but we'll leave it out of the title. Got Assemblymember Arvin.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to propose an amendment to the title because it does not correspond to the ordinance, and that is insertion of the word "and" between senior, between citizen and disabled. Otherwise, we're going to only exempt senior citizens that are disabled veterans.
I'm sure that goes along with the correct intent. Is there objection to that amendment? There's no objection. Is there objection to the motion on the table? Assemblymember Colbert.
One more title amendment, if I may. Strike out that which the Assessment Department does not recommend approval of these requests. So just read acceptance of retroactive and late filed senior citizen and disabled veteran exemption applications, period. Get rid of the rest of that.
Okay. Is there objection? There's no objection. Are we ready now to vote? Is there objection to the motion as amended? Seeing and hearing none, it does pass. And that takes care of our consent agenda and brings us to the introductions.
This is for introduction for public hearing on January 21st, Ordinance Serial Number 14019 with accompanying Resolution 14005.
Assemblymember Arvin.
I move to set for public hearing on 12114, Assembly Chambers.
Thank you. Is there objection? Hearing none. That brings us to the vacancy report. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, if I could make a comment real quick.
You may.
Under, let's see, bear with me just a minute. Mr. Cliff Silvers, under, I'm trying to find my packet. He's applying for the Emergency Medical Services Board for the Dive Rescue representative. He has resigned from the Dive Rescue team, so he's no longer actually qualified to be on the board. So I was going to ask the Assembly if we could just take him off before the motion to approve the rest of the vacancy report was moved.
Can you handle that, Mr. Deputy Mayor?
No, I think you can take him off right now and then just move everybody else. Yep, just move to take him off and then we're good.
Well, I think the attorney might have something to say.
No. No, Mr. Mayor. You could, if there was no objection to taking him off the list, the Assembly could do that before
the other motion was made. All agreeing to take him away. Okay. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I move to remove Cliff Silvers from the Emergency Medical Services Board on the on the consent agenda.
Okay, that's one way to do it. There's a, I think that was already not objected to, but I see no objection. So give us what's left.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve your recommendations up for confirmation as follows. Borough Area School Site Selection Committee, Matthew Beck, Jim Culver. Emergency Medical Services Board, Cherry Day, Matthew Schurer, Kara Boothby. Health and Social Services Board, removal of Natasha Panita. Local Emergency Planning Committee, Robert French. Planning Commission, William Kendig, Thomas Adams. Platting Board, Katie Carruthers. Transportation Advisory Board, Don Carney. Wasilla Lakes FSA number 130, Carol Christensen. Chase Trails Service Area number 134, Kevin Foster. Donnie Billington.
Thank you. Motion's on the floor. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Thank you. That brings us to the referral from the Planning Commission. Ordinance 14020, Madam Clerk.
This ordinance for referral to the Planning Commission, an ordinance amending MSB 8.50, trash and junk, to update the definitions.
Okay. Mr. Beck, would you move that, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to refer ordinance serial number 14-020 to the Planning Commission for 90 days.
Okay. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so done. There's no reconsiderations unless somebody wants to make one. And we're ready for comments. Mr. Manager.
Yes, due to a family obligation, George Hayes will be here Thursday night for your meeting. I will not.
Okay. Mr. Attorney. Madam Clerk.
Just Happy New Year.
Thank you. And so we'll start with Assemblymember Colbert. Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm looking forward to our February 4 session before involving all of the different parties that have information and interest, and I hope that we can get somebody that's actually started to run a economic development corporation somewhere else, if that's possible. But I'm looking forward to that. I also look forward to getting together with Mr. Culligan to talk about the common ground that we may have on SB 77. And I also look forward to that special meeting on the 18th. And glad to be back in the new year. And I wish you all a good one. And I'll try and have a good one, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Assemblymember Solomon.
Just a happy new year to all of you, and hope 2014 is a good one. Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes, just a couple things. One, I'll be out of town on business from Thursday through next week. I was going to try and dial in, but it's going to be dependent on bandwidth where I'm at, I guess. Two, I was thinking to myself during the veto process and comments of that ordinance and remembering why I have a $1,000 exhaust on my Suburban to generate 3 decibels of noise at the edge of an RC flying field. And that ordinance of trying to figure out what's one development, it, to me, just could be manipulated and engineered around, and can't get around that without some other efforts. But it was kind of engaging. And I, too, look forward to discussing and having an engaging dialogue on HB 77, what it is and what it isn't. There's plenty of concerns. I don't believe it's on the fast track, but it does deserve an engaging conversation. So thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Halter, let me know if I'm still mayor. I understood this had to be over in an hour, or you were going to run for mayor.
Well, I guess I'm running. I guess as far-fetched as this seems, I think the Susitna Ferry, I think the village of King Cove, now that they've blocked the road going to the Isaac Lagoon, that boat, if it's designed and engineered the way they say it was, to handle seas, that we should start working with the federal government and the powers to be, because that boat would be ideal to go back and forth between King Cove and Cove Bay, where the runway is. And that probably is a little far-fetched, but that would be a good use of that boat. And Happy New Year's.
Mm-hmm. It won't be the first time it's been discussed. I've discussed it with them, but they may be in a different position now. Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to wish everybody a Happy New Year as well. Regarding 14003, the late filed senior citizens and disabled veteran exemption, I just think that indicates to us the need for the borough to help get word out there that those exemptions are available. We might need to look at how we're doing that now and how we could do that better. I do look forward to learning about House Bill 77. I do have a lot to learn with that. My concern with tonight in our discussion and vote earlier is just the mixed messages that maybe perhaps we're sending between our Fish and Wildlife Commission and the Assembly based upon the two letters, and I just get concerned with regards. I'm glad we're moving ahead fast with our discussion and learning with that. I enjoy hearing all your input on that and the learning I have to do. Regarding January 21st, I'll be in the Aloha State, but I will call in because that's important to me to be a part of that discussion, especially the 4 p.m., so I look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
No comment. Thank you.
My only comment is to wish you a happy Russian Christmas, which is today, and a happy New Year. Thank you. Work, yeah?
I did have one comment, if I can. It's more of a question to you.
I didn't quite adjourn, so yes, you may.
So I forgot to mention earlier, just a clarification. I don't expect an answer right now, but for the benefit of the Assembly, and like, what is the authority and the like of an appointed board that you appoint? Do they have the ability to set policy and send messages around the manager and to the Assembly? Is that within their authority? And that's part of my question as well as we address this issue. And thank you.
Right. Madam Clerk?
Pretty quickly, I can tell you the authority of the boards are written in code. Most of the boards only have the authority to advise the Assembly. The only difference with the MSB Fish and Wildlife Commission, they have the authority to actually advise the fish in game. That's the only board that has the authority to go outside the borough. Every other board should only be advising the Assembly, and if they want resolutions to go forward, they need to be approaching Assembly members.
Okay. We will be sitting with them and have ample opportunity to wade through this together. And without further ado, we will adjourn.